You are listening to the Mercy View podcast. Mercy View exists to be a gospel-centered family of missional disciples to the glory of God and for the city's good. For more information about Mercy View, please visit our website at mercyview.com. Now, let's taste and see that the Lord is good.
I'll be reading today from John 3, 16 through 18. These verses can be found on page 613 in the ESV Bible underneath your chairs. If you don't have a Bible, please take one of them home. It's our gift to you. John 3, 16 through 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning. Good to see you. It is great to see you on this special morning. Christmas Eve day morning. My name is Brad. I'm one of the pastors here. And if you're visiting with us, family, friends, in for the first time maybe, or just a repeat visit from last Christmas, we are honored that you're here. And we pray that your time with us this morning has been an encouragement. And we just pray the rest of our time together will also be that as well. Well, it's almost here, right? Some of you are here today, and the excitement of the Christmas season is at a fever pitch. For all of us, there's still probably a lot of stuff to do, a lot of cooking, a lot of preparation. Family is descending upon you. Christmas is almost here with all the joys that it brings. All right, if you're a kid here, raise your hand. Yeah, I knew you would do that. I saw a bunch of people over the age of 10 raising your hands. We are a bunch of big kids here, but no, seriously, if you're under the age of 10, I have a question for you. Have you been watching the piles of presents start to pile up around the Christmas tree? Have you been noticing that? Yeah? Yeah? I wonder if it's been hard for you to wait until tomorrow, maybe tonight, to open your presents. Has it been hard? Is it hard to wait? Yeah? Yeah? Maybe you've even, when your mom and dad wasn't looking, you went over to the present and you took it up and you shook it a little bit to see what was in it? Did you guess it? Did you guess right? Well, I guess you don't know yet, right? You haven't opened it. Maybe you've been eyeing that particularly big one, you know, in the corner of the room. We like gifts. We like to receive gifts. Why do we like to receive presents? The gifts that we give are usually expressions of love, aren't they? That's what we try to do. At Christmas is give gifts and presents that are thoughtful. And what we're trying to do, it's an attempt to show the person we're giving that gift to that we care about them, that we love them, that we want to give them like this physical expression of something that will show them that we really, really like them. And we want them to enjoy it. So at best, our giving at Christmas is a display of love. Now, there is a darker side, a more challenging side sometimes to gift giving. Sometimes we give gifts out of obligation, right? Sometimes we give gifts and we rack up a lot of debt to do so. For others of us, the giving of gifts provokes a feeling of actually like loss and sadness. It's bittersweet for us. There's a lot of love in gift giving, for sure, but there is also some challenges in gift giving. And there's sometimes sadness and sorrow and loss mixed in with Christmas, the hustle and bustle of the season. But there is no question that deeply embedded in the Christmas season is the giving and the receiving of gifts. Like, we don't even question it. Like, have you at all this Christmas season just slowed down and went, why am I buying gifts for the people that I love? We just do it. It's just a part of the rhythm of our culture and the rhythm of our lives. What is it about gifts that we love to receive? What is that? Why do we love it so much? Why is gift giving and receiving such a natural impulse for us at Christmas? Is there anything better? Right? I'm curious this morning as we come to talk about the Word of God together, think about our spiritual lives this morning. What is the gift that we can receive this Christmas season that actually gets at the actual reason for this season? Like, is there a gift that really is the greatest gift that you could ever receive? A gift that takes away that sadness, a gift that takes away that sorrow and gives joy, gives happiness, gives fullness. What if you could receive that gift this morning? If you have your Bibles or your electronic devices, keep them open to John chapter 3, beginning in verse 16. You just heard Kayla read that. That is absolutely probably one of the most well-known verses in all of the Bible, and actually in the wider culture. It's a verse that they will have heard. If you used to watch football, college football back in the day, Tim Tebow used to put John 3:16 under his eye black, under his eyes for his games. John 3:16 is kind of this understood kind of even in our society, this verse that people know. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. I memorized that verse when I was a wee little kid. It's hidden in my heart. But what does it mean? Sometimes things can get so familiar to us that it loses its importance, it loses its meaning, it loses its weight. So I want to, this morning, talk with you about a verse that maybe is very familiar to you, and hopefully we can rediscover it, be refreshed by its real truth and meaning. So look there, let me read it again there, beginning in verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. And then John says this, whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. John 3:16 is all about Christmas. Here we see God gives a gift. He gives the greatest gift. He gives the gift of his Son. It's what we celebrate. It's why we're here today. It's why you're here today. I want to show you a couple of things about this gift. This is going to be a shorter sermon this morning, but I just want to show you two quick things, and they are these. The first I want to show you is how you can measure a gift by what is given. Right? You can always measure a gift by what is given. And then second, I want to show you how you can measure a gift by looking at who it is given to. All right, so let's first look at how can you measure a gift? Well, first you can measure it by what is given. You can measure God's love by what he gives. The gift itself helps you see that there is something special going on here. The depth of God's love for you resulted in a giving of a gift to you. Now, sometimes our gifts work like that, right? Every now and then someone will hit the perfect gift for you. Someone here in this room tomorrow will open a present and it will hit that spot. Be like, this is exactly what I wanted. The person that gave that to you obviously spent time trying to find something and make something, provide something for you that they thought would touch your heart. And when you open that gift, you are moved by it. The gift shows you how much they love you. And in fact, sometimes it's not even the gift that's necessarily the most special thing about it. It's the fact that they thought so well about you and found that gift that they knew that you would love. You're actually, it was the kindness and the care that really stood out to you in receiving that gift. It was what was behind the gift that really, really blessed you. We feel loved, right, when we get gifts like that. And when we receive those kinds of gifts, in a sense, we can measure the kind of love by the gift that's given. When we get a gift like that, we sense its depth. We sense its dimensions, right? Its power. And this is never more true than the gift of love that God gave for us at Christmas in His Son, Jesus. God so loved the world that He gave. He gave. And what did He give? He gave a gift that expressed the deep, the boundless, and the far-reaching love that He had for you. What gift could possibly describe that kind of love, the depth of love that God had for you? Jesus. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, His only begotten Son. So much is crammed into that word gave. God gave His Son to participate in our mess, right? He sent Him, theologians call this the incarnation. He incarnated into our culture. Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, as the Nicene Creed says that we recite here from time to time. True God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. That Jesus was born of a virgin Mary. He was laid in a manger, a trough for feeding animals. He came from the culture of heaven into the culture of man, and He did this to bear our weaknesses, to be vulnerable, to experience our pain, and most of all, to experience and take on our sin. God sent His Son to hunger and to thirst. He sent His Son to face the trouble of the soul and the agony of the body, to grieve, to encounter loss. God gave His Son to bear it all. He came to bear our sins so that He who knew no sin could be made sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. God gave His Son to the cross so that there, bearing our shame and our guilt, He might seal our pardon with His blood. At Christmas, friends, there is no cross without a manger. If you want an explanation this morning for how much God loves you, like you're like, okay, Brad, like I'm looking at the things of Christianity. I'm new to the faith. I'm checking out this Jesus guy, but I don't really understand how you could say that he loves me. I've done too much. I've went too far. I have out-sinned the grace of God. You just don't know my story. If you want an explanation for how God loves you, look to Jesus this morning. Because Jesus was God's gift to you to show you that you can't outrun His grace. Jesus was born in a stable. He lived in obscurity. He died in shame. He was raised in victory. And now He is reigning in glory. And He reigns in glory for you and for me. How much did God love you? God so loved that He gave His Son for you as a gift, as a present. What do we do with presents? When we get them, do we think, well, man, I'm really glad that I earned this gift? No. We receive gifts freely. People give gifts to us freely. God's gift of His Son for you was given to you freely. He gave him to the manger all the way to the rejection of the people that were the closest to him. And he gave him to the injustice of even Pilate. He gave him to the nails driven in his hands and his feet, and he gave him to the grave. God so loved the world that he gave his Son. I love how 1 John 4, 10-11 says it. It says, "This is love, not that we have loved God." Because if it was up to you to love God first, you would have failed in that. No, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Another big theological word just means the payment for our sins, the payment that was due. The wages of our sin required death, our death, but Jesus stood in your place and took that on himself. You can always measure the love of a gift by its depth, by its dimensions. And you can measure the love of God by the gift that he has given in Jesus. He's given us his Son, his only Son, the Son whom he loves. Now, second, you can also measure a gift by looking at who it is given to. Look with me, if you would, at the text again. It says, "For God so loved what?" What was the object of the love of God? Who did God fix his love upon? So much so that he would give his Son for them. What does it say? "For God so loved the world." You know, you've heard Pastor Jim say this. There are verses in the Bible, passages in the Bible that should just make us faint from its just unbelievable weight and power and truth. This is one of those. Let me tell you why. There are very few people in the world that I would die for. There is probably for all of us a group of people in our lives that we would say, I would never die for them. And we could just put them in the category of enemies, your enemies. If push came to shove, you're not going to get in front of a bullet of an enemy to have their life saved. But this verse says something very different than our attitude would be. This says, God fixed his love upon rebels, upon enemies, those against him. And in spite of that rebellion, in spite of that sin, and in spite of that rejection, God pursues. And he pursues by giving the gift of his Son Jesus to us, the world. That's outrageous. That is scandalous. God so loved the world. Now, in John's gospel, the phrase "world" is used in a very specific way. For most of us, when we use the term "the world," we use it as a way to talk about everybody in the world. And because of this, we tend to read John 3:16 as if God's love guarantees that everyone will be saved. But that's not what the term "world" here in the Gospel of John is saying. In the Gospel of John, like the whole Gospel of John, the world isn't a numerical concept. It is a moral concept, or maybe you could say an ethical concept. It's a way to talk about humans who've rejected God. And that's everybody. That's all of us. So when John talks about the world, he's talking about the mass of humanity that says to God, "We don't want you to be God. We don't want you to be king. We want to be in charge. We want to do things our way." In other words, the world in the Gospel of John is the created and fallen totality of mankind. It is the great mass of fallen humanity that needs the gift of salvation. It's the countless number of people who are perishing because they have not placed their faith in Jesus. In fact, the whom, or the whoever's that are in the second part of this verse, speak to that, right? It says, whoever does not believe is condemned already because he's not believed in the name of the only Son of God. The world is the great ocean of perishing sinners from whoever comes from. Now let's read John 3:16 again with that in mind. God so loved that world. It's stunning. It's scandalous. He loved that kind of world. And he loves us not because we're lovely. He loves us because he is compelled to love us because he is love. There's nothing in us that compels him to do that. Like, we don't have anything that is attractive in that sense to God. But it doesn't matter. God still pursues. God still loves. His love is so staggering, not because the world is such a big place, but because the world is such a bad place. And yet he still loved it enough to give his Son to it. Friends, this is the love of God that we just sang about. This is the love of God that we rejoice in and celebrate at Christmas, the gift of Jesus to a world of rebels like me and like you. And I'm wondering, like, as you think about that, like, do you see what that means? Do you know what that means? That God knows everything about you, and he still loves you. Like, you haven't tricked God into loving you, or convinced him by some performance of yours to love you. Actually, this is the glory of Christmas. The glory of Christmas is that the love of God sees you as you really are, and he loves you anyway. God has given his Son for you, not because you're lovely, but because you're unlovely, because I'm unlovely. We're sinners. We stand apart from Christ, under the wrath and the curse of God, yet we are sinners somehow that he loves, and he pursues and provides redemption for in Jesus. John 3:16 through 18, what John is doing is he is saying, take out your measuring tape for Christmas. Here are love's dimensions. We asked earlier if there was a gift that was greater than any other gift we could receive at Christmas. This is it. This is the gift. If we don't receive this gift at Christmas, we've missed the whole point of Christmas. It's the gift of love from the Father of his Son for us. This gift is the actual reason for the season. And yes, it is a gift that can take away sadness, can take away sorrow and loss, and replace it with happiness and with joy and fullness. And the good news is that you can receive this free gift this morning. The gift given was his only Son, his most precious gift of all. It's the measure of his love. This gift was given for you. That is the great exchange found in his love. And so for us this year, we should try and take that in. What a precious gift God has given you for Christmas, his Son. What a costly gift he gave you. He gave him up to the cross. And he gave him up for the world rebels that you and I are part of. So how do you respond this morning? Look again at the passage. It says that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so what? That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Here's what this means first. First, it means that not everybody will benefit from what Jesus came to do. But whoever believes in him will not die and have eternal life. Some will not believe that. Some will choose to not have that life. But for those of you this morning who would believe, this love gift of God is yours. Eternal life is yours, and it can start today. Now, this doesn't mean that you just exist forever if you have eternal life. Everybody exists forever. But this life that we live now is not the end of all. Everybody exists forever, but not everyone has eternal life. For those who are born again by the Spirit who gives that life, they are born to an eternity with life in God. Life that can see and savor and enjoy God as glorious as He is, all of His creation, enjoy that the way that He meant it to be enjoyed for all of time. Your response this morning is to take hold of faith in Jesus. Believe in Jesus. Be saved by Jesus. Because what happens in our believing is that by means of believing, the Holy Spirit unites us to Christ, in whom is life. And in that instant, we are born again. We are united with the Son of God, and we have His life. John 11 says, I am the resurrection and the life. This is Jesus. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. That's what eternal life is. Friends, that's the message of the Bible. That is the good news for us this Christmas. The greatest gift ever given was offered to you free and unconditional if you believe. Jesus, you receive Jesus, you receive eternal life. And if you're a believer here this morning, you may say, Brad, I've made that decision already. I'm already following Jesus. Then my challenge to you this morning is this. Celebrate that gift. Revel in that gift. Rest in that gift this Christmas. It's yours to enjoy. And if you believe by faith this morning in that gift that God has given to you, that could be something that you enjoy this Christmas as well. If you are here this morning and you would say, Brad, I haven't done that, but I want to. I see what you're saying, Brad. This gift that God has given through His Son, Jesus, was for me, for my sin. You would say, Brad, I see what you're saying. That I was a rebel. I was against God. But God still loved me, still pursued me in spite of that. And I see, Brad, what you're saying. Like, if I place my faith and trust in that, I can have freedom and joy and peace in my life. This morning, if that's you, do not leave this place without getting that settled with God. In fact, after the service is over, to my left, there'll be a prayer team. They would be honored to talk with you about what it means to walk with Jesus, to receive the gift of Jesus. Friends, this Christmas, we all have a need for a Savior. And praise God, one has been given to us in the gift of Jesus. What a gift. The love of God in Jesus for a dark world and for dark hearts like yours and mine. May we receive that gift above all other gifts this Christmas. Let's pray.